Have you ever felt like you were being watched? Have you ever felt the eyes of a stranger on you as you slept, or ate, or went for a walk? I have. Once. And to be honest, I still do. When I was 15, my family moved into a new house in the countryside. I loved it, at first. The open fields, the fresh air, the serenity. It was so much nicer than the city. The house itself was an old country home built sometime in the 1950s. Some of the locals swore the house was haunted, but it didn't seem that way to me. Sure, the floorboards were creaky and the windows in the attic were broken, but those were minor issues that could be handled in no time. Or so we thought. The morning after we moved in, well, things started to take a turn.
Dad, we've got mail?
Mail? That can't be right. We haven't registered this place as our new mailing address yet.
Well, I checked the box yesterday and it was empty, so I'm quite sure that these ones came this morning. Maybe they're addressed to the previous owner.
Huh. That wouldn't make sense either. No one's lived in this place for nearly a decade. Let me see those. What in the world? What's wrong? There's no stamps, but they're all addressed to us. It says... My dad set the letters ablaze, all of them. Each one was a variation of some kind, but the core message remained the same. Someone, somewhere, wanted us to leave our new home. My parents tried to laugh it off as some sort of prank by the locals to newcomers, but I wasn't as convinced. It wasn't until the following morning that we realized how wrong we were.
Dad, there's mail again.
What?
There were more letters, each one similar to the last, bearing curses and pleas for us to leave the house. However, this time, there was something else.
Is that our house?
I guess, but we don't know when it was taken. It could have been weeks or years even before we got here.
Oh my God! Healy's & Co. That's the name of the moving company that brought our stuff. This picture was taken 2 days ago.
We knew now that we had a case on our hands. The person sending the mail was probably a stalker. My dad called the cops, but they were convinced that this was all an elaborate joke that some local kid was playing on them. They assured us they'd look into it, and I guess that eased my parents' worries a bit. Little did we know, the strangeness was just beginning. Over the next few days, the mail kept coming, but we kept ignoring them. We kept trying to pretend everything was normal, like we weren't being watched from a distance by some psychopath. One morning, we found 3 dead rats on our doorstep. Once, a box of blood-stained nails. It was around the same time that I started hearing noises in the house. There were creaks coming through the walls of my bedroom like someone was moving on the other side. The issue was that there was no room on the other side. I told my dad about them, but...
You're on edge, son, and that's totally fine. Anyone would be with these letters we've been getting. The police are looking into it. It'll be fine. And besides, this is a pretty old house. The wind can get in the roof and the floorboards. Not that weird to hear some creaks from time to time.
You're right. I guess that makes sense.
But I wasn't convinced. Not truly. I knew there was something up, and when the noises didn't stop, I had to check it out for myself. One evening, when my parents weren't home, I placed my ear on the walls and listened for the creaks again. Something was definitely moving behind the wall. I ran down to my dad's garage and picked up a hammer and a crowbar. I moved my shelf aside and pried one of the wall's wooden bars loose.
Dad is going to definitely kill me for this. Wait, what the?
I grabbed a flashlight and pointed it at the hole I had just opened in my wall. There was a narrow tunnel within, barely wide enough for me to fit, and steep stairs that led down into the unknown. I knew I shouldn't go in. I knew I should wait for my parents or the cops, but my curiosity got the better of me. It was a tight squeeze, but I stepped into it and followed the trail until I arrived at a tiny basement underneath what must have been the living room. What I saw down there made my heart drop.
My God, someone's been living here this whole time.
Clever boy. I knew someone would find out about me sooner or later. They always do. I just didn't think it'd be so soon.
Who are you? What do you want?
Who am I? I should be asking you the same question. What gave you people the right to move into my house? My home! I won't leave. I'll never leave. It's mine, you hear me? Mine! I've already lost everything. My job, my wife, my life. But I won't lose this house too. Over my dead body. Do you think I enjoy this? You think I enjoy hurting you people? I warned the last couple who came here to leave. When they didn't listen, I had to take matters into my own hands. It seems I'm going to have to do it again. You think you can run? You think you can hide? I will find you!
The cops arrived a few minutes later, and my parents followed not long after. By the time they went down to the secret corridor to the Stalker's lair, the man was long gone. They found out that the tunnel led out to an old shed out back, and that was how he managed to get in and out without noticing. The Stalker escaped, but they did manage to find something down there, an ID card belonging to one Mr. Hank Wilson. The man I saw was a shadow of his former self, all withered and hollow, but I'd recognize those deep blue eyes anywhere. Apparently, he was a businessman who lost his fortune many years ago in a bad investment. He lost everything. His car, his wife, his kids, and his house was foreclosed by the bank and put on the market. Most people around town assumed he jumped into the river on the other side of town, and that his ghost still stuck around the house. Little did they know that it was the man himself doing the haunting. Needless to say, by the time this info got to us the very next morning, my parents and I were already well on our way to my uncle's place the next state over. It's been a good few years since then, and last I checked, they hadn't caught old Hank. The house, his house, is still on the market.
Hey guys, my name is Owen. Although I was born and lived my whole life in the United States, my parents are from Senegal. To tell you the truth, I'm proud of my roots, but you have no idea how that affects my life, especially because of my skin color. But what I'm about to tell you is a separate point. That was the day I met the wrong person in the wrong place. He may be a human, but through my eyes, he's a monster. A monster as despicable and hideous as any horror movie you've ever seen. It all started on a normal day. It was a Friday night, and I had just left work to go see my girlfriend in the hospital. The building was not in the best condition, and to make matters worse, my girlfriend was on a floor with very few people. The only person around was an old woman and a strange man, and that's when it all started. That strange man kept looking at me. He was sitting next to a room, but when a nurse came in to change the sheets, I could see that the room was empty. The strangest thing is that this person did not hide the fact that he was looking at me. Many times I get hateful looks because of my skin color, but this was different. The man felt me, even greeted me. When I left my girlfriend's room, I noticed that the man was still sitting in the same position, but when he saw me leaving, he stood up and started to follow me. I got some distance from him and took out my cell phone to make sure he was following me, and at that moment, I confirmed my suspicion. The terrifying man stood behind me, staring at me. He didn't walk. He didn't say anything. He didn't threaten me. He just looked at me. When he realized I was filming him, he started walking quickly in my direction. I tried to move away as fast as I could, but when I realized, he was running with his tetric and horrifying smile. I rushed to the elevator and pushed it as fast as I could. As the elevator doors tried to close, the man stopped running and just looked in the direction of my girlfriend's room and back at me, waving. How had I not noticed? My girlfriend is still there. Once the elevator arrived, I went back to the seventh floor and ran to her room.
The old lady was still there, which calmed me down a bit, especially since there was no sign of the psycho. Maybe she came downstairs to find me on the first floor. I went into my girlfriend's room, and she was sleeping. I didn't want to disturb her, so I went back out. Once I left the room, I felt a needle in my arm, and suddenly everything started to look strange. I could make out the man next to me, who had a syringe. I fell to the floor dizzy, and the man began to drag me into a room. I noticed that I was not fainting. I just felt very weak, and my body was not responding to me. My vision balanced, and the man greeted me again. But when he opened his mouth to tell me something, I noticed something. He had no tongue.
Don't blame him. You wouldn't be very sane either if you'd had a lobotomy.
That voice. Next to the man, another silhouette became more prominent. It was the old woman. The woman had taken off her chin strap and glasses. She was absolutely scary, even worse than the stalker.
Don't try to talk, kid. It will be impossible. Bobo injected you with Grandma's prescription. What a perfect body you have. This is superiority. I envy your skin, your body, and your genes. How can you mistreat them like that?
You crazy racist.
What are you saying? Me? Racist? You should be grateful. Can't you see how I'm envying you? I'm trapped in this rotting old shell, but you... Soon, I will have all this.
As if these words were in order, the stalker pulled out a small knife and slowly approached my face, brushing the edge of the knife across it.
What do you want to do?
Oh, isn't it obvious?
The knife came closer and closer to my face. This man was about to skin me, and there was nothing I could do. I was very weak, but I had to try and defend myself. Before I could get my strength up and try to attack the man, the doors of the room opened and we all turned around. A figure attacked the lady with a crutch. It was my girlfriend.
Leave my boyfriend alone, you crazy witch!
The old lady had fallen, but the man was still in front of her.
Do you think I didn't see you following my boyfriend? Do you think I didn't hear the old woman tell you to take him away? I won't let you do anything to him!
My girlfriend attacked the psycho, but he didn't feel a thing. He just smiled at her.
I'll be fine! Run away!
Limping, my girlfriend tried to escape as best she could, but the psycho began to follow her. I threw myself at her feet and held them, but with a kick, he kicked me away and walked closer toward her. My girlfriend ran away limping as best she could, but the psycho was getting closer and closer to her. I was crawling behind them down the same hallway where I had gotten on the elevator before, but this time the elevator wasn't there. There was no way my girlfriend could escape. Just as the man was about to catch her, the elevator doors opened, and out came three men dressed as security, who quickly grabbed the psycho while my girlfriend breathed a sigh of relief. I thought it was all over, but suddenly the old lady lunged at me with the knife. This time she didn't want to rip my skin off, she just wanted to kill me. I had a little more energy and I was able to match her strength. That was the only thing that saved my life, since his knife was going straight for my neck. I was still very weak, and the lady's strength was starting to get the better of me, but I held on long enough for another of the security men to pull the knife out of her. A short time later, safe and sound, the security guards told us how the hallway had cameras, and even though they missed me due to inattention, they were able to see my girlfriend open the door to attack the old lady, and arrived in time, before everything got even more complicated. Over time, I learned that my attackers were dedicated to kidnapping black men and extracting their skin and organs. As they said, they were superior. I still remember this lady and how I could not understand in court how her thinking was racist and psychotic, and that she is only one person among millions who, to a lesser extent, act in a similar way. The only thing that leaves me with some peace of mind is that, at least this time, these people will be locked up for good. This time, justice was done.
On February 19th, 2018, Chris Simpson was returning from visiting his girlfriend in the hospital when he had noticed a man following him. In this real footage, we will see how, even for a brief moment, Chris manages to expose him.
Hi, I'm Derek. I was really excited to move to New Jersey. I recently got a new job there, but my wife and son were not so excited. But they had agreed for my sake. We had seen this beautiful house in Westfield. It was nice and cozy. But on the very first night while we were unpacking, we got a call on the landline. We were all surprised that someone had called that number when we had not given it out to anyone yet. I picked up the call. The voice on the other side was deep.
Hello, Derek. Welcome to my home.
The call got cut. My wife asked me who it was. I told her about the call, and she was shocked that the caller knew my name and claimed this to be his home. We were worried and couldn't sleep. In the middle of the night, I got up to drink some water and came to the kitchen and was looking for a bottle. I opened the fridge and was shocked to see a piece of cake inside with, to Derek and his family, happy staying.
Ah!
I jumped in fear and hit my back on the counter. I hurt my back. My wife came running down to check and saw me lying on the floor. I was in so much pain. Just then, the phone rang again. This time, my wife picked it up and put it on speaker. It was the same voice again.
Hey, sorry if I scared you. It was just cake, Derek. I'm sorry about your back. Hope you're okay.
This was even more terrifying. He was watching us and knew what was happening in our home. My wife immediately called 911 and told them what was happening. They sent a couple of cops to the house. They took the landline number and said that they'll initiate a trace and just left. We could not sleep and were wondering what would happen the next day. My wife was already thinking of finding another place to move to.
Tomorrow, I'm calling the realtor. We are not staying in a creepy place like this.
Calm down, honey. The cops are on it. The house is not the issue. It's some psycho who's the problem.
My wife was not completely convinced by this, but since she couldn't do anything in the middle of the night, she went back to sleep. Later in the night, my back pain intensified and I had to go to the emergency room. But we didn't want to leave the kids home alone, so I decided to take a cab. The cab arrived surprisingly faster than I expected. I got in. The cab driver saw me in pain and was very helpful. He even offered to drop me off back at home. I went to the emergency room where they gave me a few painkillers and told me to rest for a week. I sat in the cab and dozed off because of the painkillers. And when I woke up, I was at the doorstep of my place. My wife woke me up. I was surprised to have ended up there. She helped me stand and get into the house. She was about to close the door when the phone rang again. My wife did not want to pick up the call. It continued to ring and stopped. Then it started again. This time I picked it up and the voice was very angry.
Derek, I was nice this time and dropped you home. If you try to contact the cops, I won't be so nice.
The call got cut. He was the cab driver. I felt so angry that he was so close and I didn't know. I slept feeling frustrated. For the next couple of days, there was no phone call from the creepy guy. The cops were still looking for the caller and were unable to trace him. I was at home resting because of the back pain. My wife had called the realtor and was trying to find another house, but no good options were coming our way. My wife was getting frustrated. It was the fourth night of our stay. We were having dinner when my son, Sam, suddenly asked,
Dad, my friend Keith told me that this house is haunted. Is that true?
I almost choked on my food when I heard that. This was news to me. My wife was also shocked to hear this. I told my son that there is no such thing as haunted houses and asked him to finish his food and go to bed. After tucking him in his bed, my wife came and was about to ask me something when the phone rang again. Since the cops were tracing the call, they had asked us not to stop talking to the caller. And so we had picked up the call so that the cops can trace him. When I picked it up, the caller was laughing.
Derek, tell your son that his friend was right. The walls of the house hide a lot of secrets.
I begged him to leave us alone, but he told me he couldn't because I was part of the family from the time I started living at the house. My wife was frustrated. She took the phone and yelled at him.
Who the hell are you? And what do you want?
He just laughed and cut the call. Later that night, when I was switching off the lights and going to the bedroom, I suddenly felt a shadow behind me. I turned to look and there was no one there. I thought I was seeing things because of what the caller told me. I was about to enter the room when I heard a knock from Sam's room. I rushed to his room and when I opened it, Sam was sleeping peacefully. I heaved a sigh of relief and went back to the room and slept. The next day, our realtor called and we told her what was happening and threatened to sue her if she didn't find us another house. She apologized and told us about another place closer to the city. We took the help of the cops and moved to the other place, never to come back to this strange house. Sometime later, I heard in the news about the cops catching a guy called Arthur, who was threatening and stalking people who took that house. The guy was deranged and psychotic. When they caught him, he confessed to have killed people and hid their bodies in the walls of the house.